So take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. We'll read one verse, and then we'll turn to chapter 3, verse number 20. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these sayings saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Lord, we ask you this morning that you would honor, bless the reading of your word. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, for all that it holds, the truth, the life, the precepts, the promises. Lord, I pray now that we would focus our heart, our mind on you. I pray, Father, you would help us, move among us, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter number 2 and Revelation chapter number 3, we find our Savior is giving John the Beloved, John the one whom Jesus loved, instructions. He gave him a message to give and to deliver to seven golden candlesticks. Now, by reading chapter number 1, we know these seven candlesticks is the seven local churches, the churches there that God has placed. And I find it interesting this morning that God likens, he uses the symbol, the typology of a candlestick to compare to his church. You know, a candlestick is nothing more than an object. It's nothing more than an instrument that holds a light. That's our obligation this morning. That's our duty. That's our purpose this morning, is to uphold the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. May I say this morning, a community, it can do without a lot of things. It can do without franchise restaurants and commercialized retail stores. A community can do without a super Walmart. But I submit to you that a community cannot thrive and it cannot survive without a Bible-believing local church. New Testament church. My life this morning, it's a lot better because Jesus put a church in my life. My family's a lot better because of the church. And my future is a lot brighter because Jesus Christ put a church in my life. Now, I know the church does not save me. I know the Baptist ordinance does not redeem me. I know that the deacons and the preachers do not save me. But because of the ministry of the church and because of the promoting of the gospel and upholding the light of Jesus Christ, it gave me opportunity and showed me how I could be saved. And I'm thankful that God put a church in my life. We find there's three ordained institutions in the Word of God this morning. Number one, the family. God saw man was alone. He deemed it was not good for man to be alone. So he ordained, he instituted the family. We find he instituted, he ordained government, and we find he also instituted the church. He told Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." And God is giving direction. He's giving instruction, a message to John to deliver, to give to these local churches, these individuals and these families here. We find in chapter number 2, verse number 1, as we already read, that God is walking in the midst of these candlestick, of the church. He's in the middle, Jesus Christ. He's right in the middle. All focus is on him. All preeminence is his. All attention is given to Jesus Christ. But just one chapter later, just a few verses later, he's no longer in the midst. He's no longer in the center of those families, but he's outside on the doorstep. He's no longer in the middle. He's left. He's been kicked through the curb. He's outside. Not because that's where he desires to be, but that's where he's been put. He desires to be in the midst. He desires to be in the middle. He desires to commune and to fellowship and to lead us this year. But for some reason, somehow, for some obvious reason this morning, he's been placed outside. I began to think this morning, have you ever been anywhere that you haven't been welcome? That you don't feel welcome, that you don't feel at home. You want to leave, and I can assure you, you won't go back. And that's where find Jesus Christ this morning. Many of these individuals, many of these churches that we're reading about this morning, they were filled with love. Many of them, they were filled with good works, and they were persecuted, but they were persistent for Christ's sake. Many had charity and patience, but for some reason, he's no longer in the midst. He's outside wanting to get back in. I want to say this morning, these churches, I believe once were accustomed for God being in the center. They were accustomed and they were used to God being in the middle. But some reason, I find that they took him for granted. They began to grow cold on God. I believe the new began to wear off. And let me say it this way this morning, they got over Jesus. I never want to get over Jesus. I never want to get over for what he did for me, how he took me by Calvary, how he saved my soul, how he gave me eternal life, and how he's blessed me and my family this past year. I never want to get over Jesus. But we find these churches, he's no longer in the middle, he's no longer in the midst, but he's outside. Not only is he outside, but we'll read this morning just the thought of them operating. Just the thought of those individuals and those families and that church congregation as a whole, young people and old people alike, trying to operate without him makes him sick. Just the thought. I was thinking this week, and I asked Sherry this morning to put up a picture. I don't know if she can. I had it on my phone. My wife and my girls have a little dog. It's a little shih tzu, a little brown dog. It's small, it's furry, it's fluffy, it's a cute little dog, and it's their pride and joy. They love this dog. It's their life. And if you look at this dog, it's probably the most cutest dog you ever seen in your life. But I can assure you, that dog is a devil in disguise. Our pastor, I don't guess she can get it pulled up. Our pastor preached a few weeks ago about him going back over to the home place, and God had asked him just to go and let him there, and he walked the hills and those valleys all day long, thanking God for what he did for him and how he's blessed him through the years, and just remembering how good God's been to him. And he said, and he made the comment, that a dog showed up from nowhere, and this dog had followed him, and it walked with him, and it fellowshiped with him all day long, and for reward, at the end of the day, he gave this dog half of his candy bar. Do you remember that? I was thinking this morning, several years ago, we were leaving to go. I don't remember if it was going to eat or we were going to get groceries. Me and my family were leaving, and we were gone for a few hours and came back home, and just like I always do, I go in and I cut off the alarm. I took off my shoes and I'm walking through the house, and of course the lights were still off, and I'm walking through the house and I step on something. And I thought to myself, no, she didn't. That dog better not have. So I look at my sock, and there on my sock is a large brown spot. And I look in the floor, and there in the floor is a brown spot. And I began to get queasy, and then I thought, well, I smell something. And I don't remember what I ate for breakfast or what I ate for lunch or what I ate for supper, but I can assure you, as I was running to the bathroom, it was all coming up. I get to the bathroom and I'm sick at my stomach, and I hear my wife coming down the hall thinking she's coming to console me. She's coming to bring me a wet rag, and she turns the corner and whatever was on the floor, she was holding it in her hand. And that made me more sick. I began to get more sick, and I was thinking to myself, woman, what is wrong with you? That's gross, that's nasty, that's disgusting. And she's laughing at this time, and I'm sick, and she's telling me, she said, Gunn, before we left, she said the girls was eating a Hershey bar and had placed it, I guess, on a coffee table, and while we were gone, that dog had grabbed that bar and it was in the floor, and I'd stepped on that candy bar and I thought it was a mess. But just the thought of that candy bar, preacher, being on my sock, just the thought of it being in the floor, and the thought that I smelled it made me sick. You know, this morning, Jesus Christ being outside, and the thought of him or us trying to operate without his presence, without his power, without his anointing, makes him sick. I was thinking this morning, he used to be in the midst of their lives. He used to be in the middle. Something must have happened. Something must have took place that's made him leave, that they've asked to leave, that they've kicked to the curb, and now he's outside. I wonder this morning, this past year we went through, is Jesus Christ the same place in your life as he's always been? Is he in the middle? Is he the center focus? Is all your attention, all your desire toward him this morning? Or is he outside wanting to come back in? I want to preach on the thought this morning. We need some door openers. We need some door openers. I began to think about the conclusions that Christ came to concerning these candlesticks. The conclusion that Christ has toward his church or toward you and I as individuals this morning. Notice number one, I believe he's outside because there was a departing. There was a departing. In verse number 4, the Bible says of chapter number 2, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He's telling this first church, he's telling these first group of individuals, you used to love me, you've labored faithfully, you've worked, you've endured, you've shown patience. He tells this church, there was even some false teachers that came and you stood strong in the faith. You stood strong against them, those false teachers that came in sheep's clothing. But inside, they were raving wolves. You stood faithfully. You endured. You didn't grow weary. You didn't grow faint. He's telling this church at Ephesus, you're like as Martha. You see, this church was a working, busy church. And he tells them, you're like Martha. But I don't think God's interested in too many Marthas this morning. He's looking for some Marys. He's telling them, I know you've worked for my sake. I know you've labored for my sake. I know you've stood strong for my sake. I believe what he's saying is, I know your motives are good, but I'm interested in your emotions of the heart. He's interested in their emotions. The love, their affection, the love they once had. He's saying you used to just sit at my feet and just want to be around me and just want to be around the things of God. But now you're just busy working. May we fall in love with Jesus Christ this next year. May we go back to where we once were. Do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? When you first got saved and you couldn't get over what he did for you? May we fall in love with him one more time. You know, his love for us has never faltered. His love for us has never failed. His love for us this past year has been faithful and has been enduring, has been true. But I can't say that about my own self. Began to think about a song Brother Randy sings. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the high star and it reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure. It's the saints and the church's song. May we fall in love with God again. I wonder this morning, have you departed where you once were? May we return. You know, as Brother Jason was leading the choir this morning, you know, he said that 2019 has been a difficult year for many families here at Fletcher First Baptist Church. But in all that, he still showed us love. He's protected. He's blessed. He's fed. He's clothed. He's provided. He's saved. He's loved us. And may we fall in love with him again. I believe he's left outside. He's gone. He's been no longer in the midst. He's outside wanting to get in, number one, because there was a parting of the love. I see number two, he's outside because the decline in doctrine. Read verse number 14 with me, if you will. He's telling this church now, this church at Pergamos, he's saying, but I have few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. He's telling this church at Pergamos, it was a city. There at that church, this city was surrounded. It was infiltrated with pagan worship, with pagan gods. There was the gods of mythology, of altars to Zeus. It was a center of pagan religion. And despite all that, despite this, these Christians at Pergamos, they held fast to their faith. They stood strong in their faith to the point that it says Antipas was martyred for his faith, for standing strong. But in verse number 14, he said, I have a few things against you. He said, I have somewhat against you. You've been holding on to some false doctrine. See, this church at Pergamos and this next church we won't read of Thyatira, their doctrine, their beliefs, they were skewed by what men thought and what men believed. Notice in verse 15, it says, so that thou hast them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. This doctrine he speaks of has the idea of a priest or priesthood. You see, many were believing in this day, they were holding on to that Old Testament law, and they were thinking about there needs to be someone between God and man to be an intercessor. And I want to say this morning, Jesus Christ, he's the only one. He's the only man between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. But he began to say that he hates this doctrine, their belief, they're trying to exercise lordship over their people. And we still have that going on today. Some religious beliefs, some religious sects believe we can go to man and confess sin and he can go to the Father on their behalf and forgive those sins. We find that not true. When Jesus Christ, when he said it is finished, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, saying that every man, everyone has access to God the Father. You see, I think what he's telling them, telling this church at Pergamos, what you believe is very, very vital. Your doctrine. If we add anything to God's word, I heard one preacher say we would become a Pharisee. But if we take anything away from it and we don't practice God's word, we become a compromiser. He's telling this church, you better know what you believe, why you believe. What I'm trying to say this morning, we need to get back to the word of God. We need to study the Word of God and read the Word of God and realize how precious God's Word is to us this morning. I began to think in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Paul went on to tell Timothy, he went on to say, Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. I believe what he's telling us is we need to know why and what we believe based on his word. He's outside because many had departed from their love. He's outside because many had skewed beliefs and were not trusting in the true word of God. I see thirdly, he's outside because some began to decay. Notice in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, He's writing to a different church. This church is Sardis. He's telling this church, he said unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write, these things saith that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. He's telling this church, some of you has left, you departed your first love. Some of you have been skewed in your doctrine beliefs. Now he's telling Sardis, he said, some of you have began to decay. Matter of fact, he said, thou hast a name that livest. He's telling this church that was surrounded with large temples. It was surrounded with many pleasures. They had a good reputation. They were working for God. Everything from the outside seemed to be A-okay. He said, you look like you're alive. You have a good reputation. People see life. People see vitality in you. But he said, you're decaying, and I think you're dead. What a sad state as an individual. Despite the reputation of life, Jesus saw them for what they were. He said, you once were alive, but now you're dead. These that are dead, I believe it indicates there was no struggle left in them. There was no fight left inside. It seems that everything that they once lived for has now gone. And I began to think maybe you this morning, some of you, you may be like this church. Your problem is not scandalous sin. Your problem is not vile wickedness. But that thing inside, that substance that's inside, is no longer alive. It's no longer vibrant, but it seems to be dead and decaying. There's no fight. There's no life. I wrote in my notes, there's no thrill anymore, no joy to soul win, no thrill to praise Him, no thrill to worship God. You used to come to church wondering what the preacher was going to preach about. You used to come to church waiting to sing in the choir, and during the altar call, you were waiting to see who God was going to save this morning. But now, it's just going through the motions. Now, it's just formality. We see here, He's saying you have a great reputation of being alive and vibrant. You're the model Christian. People see you. You're the role model as a born-again saved believer. But inside, it's dead and decaying. Notice this spiritual condition. It was bad, but it wasn't hopeless. The good news is, Jesus Christ, He specialized in raising the dead. Maybe you're tired of this morning. This year, it seems like you've just been numb to the things of God. Seems like you've just grown cold and stale and going through the motions, and everything around you seems to be decaying concerning Jesus Christ. But the good news is Jesus Christ, He can raise you fresh and anew this morning. He's outside. We've placed Him there. There's a reason He's there. He don't feel welcome anymore, but He desires to get back in. He's outside because we've departed. He's outside because the doctrinal beliefs. He's outside because the decaying and the deadness. He's outside, fourthly, because the dullness. Look at verse number 15 in chapter number 3. He's writing to the church of Laodicea. He said, unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. And so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We come to this final church of the church age, and this Laodicean church, they were rich. The Bible says they were increased with goods. They didn't think they had need of anything, that God had blessed them financially and with material things. And I began to study about Laodicea. It was a place of great commercialism, of great wealth, financial wealth. They had great textiles in this area and industry. And their largest import, as I was reading this week, was a eye salve that would only come from that area. And they would export this eye salve all across the area. Now, it's interesting to me, the eye salve that they exported made for people to see better, yet they could not see their own spiritual condition. Their greatest problem, they tell me, of the Laodicea area, this city, was their water supply. They say that this city This area got all of their fresh water needs from hot springs located about 6 miles from the city. And these people, they were very intelligent, smart, and they had made a 6-mile aqueduct to bring these water, hot natural springs into the city. But by the time the water supply reached the city, it was no longer hot water, but it was lukewarm. And God uses this to show them their spiritual situation. He's saying, you're not hot, you're not cold, but you're lukewarm. I began to think, why would he say you're not hot or you're not cold? You see, hot water has a purpose. Hot water will soothe, hot water will comfort, and hot water will heal. And cold water, it has a purpose as well. It refreshes. I began to think about those in the New Testament that may be in cold. You see that thief on the cross who was fixing to die for his sins, for his iniquities? His love for Jesus Christ was cold. Yet he could see clearly his need of salvation. And then you come to John the Beloved. His love for Jesus Christ was hot, and he enjoyed that fellowship and that relationship and that intimacy with his Lord and Savior. But Judas, he was not hot nor cold. He was hot enough, and he stayed close enough to Jesus to be his disciple. Yet he was far enough that he never gave his heart and his soul to his Savior. He said, I wish you were hot, I wish you were cold, but since you're neither and since you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Charles Spurgeon, I believe, said it best. He said, deep down, there is no one more miserable than a lukewarm Christian. They have too much of the world to be happy in Jesus and have too much of Jesus to be happy in the world. Begin to think, how many of us, me included, is God would look at our lives, he would look at 2019, and he'd say, Brother Gunn, I wished you was hot. Or Gunn, I wished you was cold, but I see you as lukewarm. I believe, number one, God's left our families. He's left us individually. He may have left his church, and he's outside because we departed from our love. Maybe some of us have some skewed doctrine and beliefs. He's left. Maybe some of us has grown cold and began to decay, and God said, it seems like it's dead to me. Maybe this morning you're dull, living that lukewarm Christian life. He said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. We see these churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's a sad condition. It's a grim condition. It's depressing, and it's cold, and we find that they've departed. They've grown dead. They've grown dull on Christ. They begin to decay, and we find that true, I believe, in many of our lives today. I notice he's on the outside, no longer in the middle, but he's at the door knocking. I believe these churches, Pastor, and I won't argue about it, but I believe these churches show us different church ages, different dispensations of the church. I believe it starts with Ephesus. Ephesus, we see that at the inception of the church, the beginning of the church, Christ was in the middle. But when you go to chapter 4, verse 1, John hears a voice that says, come up hither. That's the rapture. I believe what he's saying is right before the rapture, right before he calls his children home, I'm going to be outside the local church wanting to get in. It's a sad situation. Grim, that's the conclusion that he had toward the candlesticks. But notice the chances he gives to the congregation. I'm preaching on the thought, we need some door openers. Verse number 20, chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door. Even though you're dead, even though you've been decaying, even though you're dull and you departed from my love, I stand at the door and knock. He's asking us as a congregation this morning, the last Sunday of 2019, number one, please don't ignore. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'm just looking for an invite. I will come into him. He wants to inhabit it with us this morning in 2020. I will sup with him and he with me. And that's the intimacy we can have with Jesus Christ. We need some door openers. Brother Roger, I thank you for the testimony last week. Brother Roger Silver last week stood up here and he thanked the church for all that they do. He thanked the church for the workers and we have a wonderful, wonderful church. And he made comment that someone's always willing to step in. He's made the comment someone's always willing to help and we have committees and we have workers and I'm thankful for that. But more than any committee, any more than any workers we need this year in 2020, we need some door openers. Someone that will get up and open the door for Jesus Christ, for their family. Someone that will open the door for them individually. Someone will open the door for them as a church that can come in and have sweet fellowship. We need some door openers this year. Are you willing? Verse number 22. He goes on to say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Do you hear him knocking this morning? He's wanting to come back in. It's not grim. It's not hopeless. He may be on the outside, but he desires to come right back in the middle. If we'll all stand this morning. Misty, if you'll come and you'll play something on the piano, maybe sing a song, whatever the Lord plays on your heart. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the Word of God. Father, we realize this morning that in 2019, we may have slid, we may have departed, we may have grown cold, we may have decayed on the things of God. But Lord, I'm thankful this morning you've given us another opportunity, Father, to open the door, to invite you in. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us. And when you do knock, when we do hear, we wouldn't delay, Father. We wouldn't hesitate, Father. We wouldn't be complacent, but we'd invite you in. God, we need you this year. We need you this morning. We need our families, our young people, our church members to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray that I could be a candidate. Lord, I could say, yes, Lord, here I am. Lord, have your way this morning. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, many times we use this text as soul winning. We tell our young people that if you hear the Lord knocking at your heart's door, just invite him in. And that's good, grand, and we can do that. We can use the application. But he's not talking to the lost. He's talking to his children. He's talking to those in his church. He's wanting you to let him in this morning. Why don't you come? Whatever your need is, the Lord will help you. The Lord's with us. Whatever your need is.